Amen. Well, you can be seated. I appreciate you standing. Amen. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here back at Island Ford this week. Amen. I appreciate the opportunity to preach Wednesday night in the service, and then appreciate that he asked us to preach again this evening here, and I don't take it lightly. Amen. I appreciate each opportunity that the Lord gives us to preach. And I want to say thank you to all the ladies and any men that was involved as well with the food this week. It's been good. Amen. And I appreciate all those helping in the marathon as well. And thank the Lord for the funds that have come in, as Daddy already said. Amen. I'm rejoicing in that. I want to say thank you to the church for supporting us, for all the prayers and financial support. I don't feel like I'm worthy of support. I don't feel like I'm a missionary. Amen. I'm a pastor. But I appreciate the church being faithful to support us and help us. And thank you for that. Amen. Amen. And the Lord is helping us there. We've got a lady we just, she come forward for baptism. She said she'd been saved. She said she was baptized when she was a kid, but she got saved when she's in her 60s, I think. So she agreed to, at first she said she didn't want to be baptized. She's already baptized. And, but anyway, then she realized that that wasn't biblical. Right. And she agreed to be baptized. She was excited about being baptized when it come down to it. Amen. So we thank the Lord for that. That's good. But pray for her. Miss Wilma is her name. She had a knee replacement 2 weeks ago yesterday. So she's in therapy for that now. So pray for her, as she recovers from that surgery. But then we got another lady that's been coming and said she got saved here in 2020 listening to a preacher on the radio. Amen. Amen. It wasn't our radio, but I'm thankful. Yeah. There's some other preachers out there. Amen. Amen. And so anyway, she's going through a divorce then and going through she lost her job. She had a grandson in prison and all this. And she's going through a rough time. She's driving down the road and listened to the preaching, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of her heart. Amen. Amen. She's really going through depression. She was watching YouTube videos. It's all the time watching YouTube videos. And she found a preacher on YouTube and started listening to that. That's what really got her started. And then she started listening to a Christian radio station. I didn't know there was a Christian radio station there near where she's at. But anyway, and so she's listening to that, and she got saved, but she's never been baptized. And so she's going to be baptized sometime here in the next couple of weeks, Lord willing. So we're excited about that as well. We've got some people that are coming that don't have some of them don't have a testimony of being saved. And some of them, I'm not sure if they're saved. They may be. But I'm praying the Lord work in their lives as well. And they'd see their need of a Savior. Amen. If they're lost and come to know the Lord. Amen. And so we appreciate you praying for us in that. Amen. If you want to turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 1, I believe it's where we'll be here this evening. I struggled with trying to find direction as far as where we should be. This is what I have on my heart, though, and trying to find the mind of God for this evening. I was thinking, I don't know if any of y'all ever heard it. I know I told Daddy about it sometime. I don't remember when it was now. I don't remember. Somebody was with us, was talking about it. Somewhere, anyway, that narrows it down a lot, don't it? But we was talking, and somehow it came up. We was talking about E.V. Hill and a message he preached there at his wife's funeral. If you haven't heard that, you ought to look that up. You can look it up on YouTube. But man, they're shouting the house down at his wife's funeral. Amen. And anyway, I heard Brother Tim Floor made mention of him preaching another message where he preached on when God was at his best. Yeah. Amen. He goes through, I can't go through all that he did. He took a while doing it. But he talked about if you want to find out when God was at his best. Of course, that is a humanistic way of looking at it. God's always the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He's never worse or better. He's always God. Amen. But we understand what he's saying. We said when God's at his best, he said, you have to go back to Genesis chapter number 1. He said, you look there and you see God, just as Brother Pullman was talking about today, just speaking. Yeah. Amen. And the whole world coming into existence. Not just the world, but the universe and everything. Yeah. This God just spoke and it existed. Yeah. Amen. And everything was good. Amen. And he said, but that wasn't when God was at his best. He goes on talking about the flood, talking about the rolling the waters back in the Red Sea. He went all the way through the Old Testament. He said, but you have to come down this portion where we're at here in Matthew when God became flesh. He said, the angels proclaimed the birth of Christ and all of this. And he said, but that wasn't when God was at his best. He goes on, he said, you got to go to Calvary and see the Son of God hanging on a cross, dying for our sin. And he said, but that wasn't when God was at his best. He said, there's been a lot of people, a lot of tracks lead into the graveyard. He said, there ain't very many tracks leading out of the graveyard. He said, on that third day, the Lord got up out of the grave. Amen. And he said, but even that wasn't when God was at his best. He said, when God was at his best, the way E.V. Hill said it, something I can't remember exactly. He said, but when God was at his best, ain't even in the Bible. He said, when God was at his best was, I think it's in 1939, on a dirt road in Texas. He said, a six-year-old boy fell down on his knees and called out to God, and God saved him. Amen. That's when God was at his best. And we'd have to say, I can't think of anything better God's ever done for me. Amen. Than when he revealed to me that I was a sinner. I wasn't 6 years old. I was older than that. I was 14 years old, almost 15. But the Lord saved me. Amen. And it took just as much God to save me as it did to save the drunk or the adulterer. Amen. Or whatever. Amen. It took a great God. Amen. And when was God at his best? When he loved me. Amen. And he gave himself for me. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter number 1. Let's look in verse number 18. We'll begin there. I want to look at this man here, Joseph, and look at a few things about him. I've preached this a couple times, and I've preached it a couple different ways. But I believe this is helpful. It's helped me to look at I like to look at characters in the Bible. Everybody don't do that, but I like to do that and just see what we can glean from them. And, I appreciate that. So let's see what the Lord would have for us to see here in Matthew chapter number 1, verse number 18. The Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Amen. Thank the Lord. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to help us as we preach this evening. Daddy, you care to lead us in prayer? Amen. 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 Thank you. I appreciate that prayer. Amen. Thank you for praying for us. I'm thinking about, as I said, I like to think about these characters, and Joseph is kind of an obscure character in the Bible. There's really only the book of Matthew that talks about Joseph. Luke has given us Mary's perspective, if you will. The angel comes to Mary, not to Joseph in Luke, and Joseph is mentioned, but only as it relates to Mary. Here, everything in Luke 1 and 2 is dealing with Joseph instead of Mary. And it's kind of from Joseph's standpoint, how that it came about. And you have to put these two accounts together to get the full story, right? Chapter 1 of the book of Luke starts, it spans quite a bit of time. It starts with Elizabeth and Zacharias and then goes to Mary. And this Matthew 1 that we just read comes after Luke 1, after Mary has received the word from the angel. Mary sung her song and all of that takes place, and then Matthew 1. And then you got to go from Matthew 1 to Luke chapter 2 to find the birth of Christ, and the events in Matthew 2 take place after the first part of Luke chapter number 2. They are not in the stable. I heard a political podcast, but they had a pastor of I think it's probably a Southern Baptist church, but it's a Baptist church, a Baptist pastor on a podcast, and was talking about how when the wise men came to the stable and saw Jesus in the manger. Now, he hadn't studied his Bible very much, it doesn't appear to me. They didn't come to the stable, they came to a house. It wasn't a baby in a manger, it was a young child. And probably some time has taken place between Luke 2 and Matthew 2. Amen? But anyway, you have to put all those together to see the full picture. But this is from the perspective of Joseph. And these, Brother Pullman said earlier today, these are not just stories. The Bible doesn't just tell us about Joseph so we know about a man that lived a long time ago. And there's a message in here for us. Amen. To use in our life. And I think it's good for us when we read the Bible. The Bible says that Elijah was a man of like passions like as we are. I think it's good for us to... It's not good for us to compare ourselves among ourselves, but it is good for us to look and see if we're as close to the Lord as some of these guys were. What could we learn from them that would cause us to live for the Lord better? Amen. In our life. And so that's what we want to do with Joseph. I was thinking about this. Of course, Joseph is not the father to Christ. Joseph is the man that God chose to raise his son. And I was thinking about this, I understand that even Mary called Joseph Jesus' father in Luke 2. She knew he wasn't his father. But Joseph had taken the responsibility of raising Jesus. Amen. And so we see that. So I was just thinking about this, if you had a situation, I don't know exactly how, we could say it like this. If you had a daughter that was young and got married and was expecting a child, was with child, you're not really expecting a child. There is a child there. Right. She's not expecting mother. She is a mother. Right. Amen. Yeah. But if she's with child and then the father of the child dies, and you're the grandfather, you're the mama, or whatever situation, and you want to pick somebody to raise the child that's left there, that child needs a mama and a daddy. Right. I'm glad that God gives grace when there's situations not the way He wants it to be, but God expects there to be a mama and a daddy raising children.
Amen.
Amen. That's God's plan. Amen. Even with His son, didn't need a man, but He didn't need a father figure in the home. And so God chose Joseph. When God was looking for somebody to nurture and train His son, God chose Joseph.
Amen.
Amen. Now what kind of a man was Joseph? Amen. What kind of man would you look for? I think God would probably look for a good man. Amen. To raise His son. And we see that here. So I want to look here at the man that God chose to raise His son. Amen. Now look here in verse number 18. The Bible says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So I see here He has a dilemma. He has a major dilemma. And I believe the way that Joseph handled this situation, we just slow down and think about what Joseph was going through. We could preach about what Mary was going through. But what Joseph was going through in this situation, and we'll find out, it's not always easy to follow the Lord. It's not always easy to serve the Lord, but it's always right. Amen. And Joseph, the way that he handled this situation reveals a lot to us about his character and what he believed. I do not believe that Joseph suddenly became religious when he had a dream about Mary having a child. Let's think about it. Joseph is living in a day when they have not heard one word from God for over 400 years. And yet, Joseph knows the Word of God that they got last. I mean, Joseph knows the Bible. And we're going to see that. Joseph is interested in obeying what God said last, even if it was 400 years ago. Amen. And so that's the kind of man Joseph was. And so there's an unexpected development here. The Bible tells us that Joseph was espoused to Mary. That does not mean they were married. It means they were, we would say, engaged. But their espousal, the Jewish espousal, was stronger than an engagement. They gave vows one to another. And if you look in the book of Luke, especially, even here in Matthew, God calls Mary Joseph's wife before they're married. Because they are espoused. He is her husband before that they're married. Amen. Now that's a little confusing for us. They were not married. We would not call them husband and wife. But they had said some vows to each other and they were engaged or espoused together. And that was a very serious thing. And Joseph, I believe Joseph looked for a lady that was godly.
Amen.
And he looked for a lady that he had some trust in, that she was moral and upright and just, amen, and holy in her life. I believe Joseph was that way. And now he's chosen Mary, and they're getting ready to get married. And the Bible says, look how it says at the end, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, we won't turn over there for the sake of time, but Mary, before she is found with child, she gets a visit from Gabriel to tell her, you're going to have a child, and this child, she said, how can that be, seeing I know not a man? He said, well, this child's of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. And so Mary realizes that. I don't know. I think about that. What was going through Mary's mind? How am I going to explain this to Joseph? And from what I read in the Scriptures, it does not appear to me that she did explain it to Joseph. It appears to me she was found with child. Joseph one day found out Mary is expecting. Mary is with child. I don't know if somebody said something to him. I don't know if he just observed. Right? I don't know what happened. But somehow he found that she's with child. Notice what he did in this unexpected development. Now, being unfaithful during the betrothal was just as serious as committing adultery after marriage. Amen. Just as serious. And it was also just as serious to commit fornication. Amen. Just because somebody's engaged don't mean they live together. Amen. Joseph and Mary were not living together. They had not come together. And yet Mary has a child. And so there's an unexpected development. There's an uncharacteristic deliberation. Look at this. It says, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, threw a fit, got mad. No. Look what it says. Being a just man. God describes his character a little bit there. Said he's a just man. He did what was right.
Amen.
He could be, somebody said, you cannot, I was talking about politicians, said he can't be trusted to do, he can't be trusted not to do wrong, but he can be trusted to do right. You can't trust somebody to do right because you can't trust them not to do wrong.
Right.
If they're immoral, then they have no integrity.
Right.
Amen. You cannot be immoral with integrity.
Right.
Joseph was a just man. He did what was right as well as refraining from evil.
Right.
I believe that rich young ruler, we mentioned him, he didn't do any evil,
right.
But he didn't do what was right. He was content in his heart with what he hadn't done. And Jesus said, you got a lot more you need to do.
Right.
Amen. Joseph did. He was a just man. Amen. He did what was right. Look what he says, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. This means, I noticed that word minded. He had considered it. He thought about it a little bit. He said, you know, it wouldn't really be, you know what he can do? She's committed fornication. That's the only way you can be with child before marriage, right? So what is the judgment? Well, you can stone her. You have the right to stone her according to the law. You can do one of two things. You can stone her or you can divorce her. Now, we use divorce as a way to get out of marriage. In the Jews' custom, that was not the way. You didn't get out of marriage with divorce. Divorce, Jesus said, except for fornication.
Right.
Not except for adultery.
Right.
Except for fornication. And he used the word adultery right after that.
Yep.
He that marries, in the same sentence, if you take the wife's been put away, you commit adultery.
Right.
So he knew the difference between adultery and fornication. He said divorce is for fornication.
Right.
Which is what had to have happened in this situation,
right,
except for the fact that God was involved,
right,
with it. Amen. So Joseph decided, I'm not going to throw a fit of anger, and I'm not going to go around telling everybody about what Mary's done, and I'm not going to bring her before the Sanhedrin and stone her.
Right.
I'm just going to put her away. I'm going to divorce her. That word put away is the same word divorce.
Right.
I'm going to put her away privately.
Right.
I'm not going to shame Mary. Amen. I'm going to put, that's a just man.
Amen.
That's a good man. He is minded. He's considerate even when he is being sinned against.
Yep.
He hasn't. I understand that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But in his mind, this is the only explanation for this.
Yep.
And he is considering Mary. How many times we consider how we should react to somebody when they do us wrong? Joseph was minded. He thought about it a little bit.
Amen.
Then look in verse number 20. But while he thought on these things, he wasn't just minded. He didn't just think about it for a little bit. No, he's still considering,
right,
what he's going to do. Looks to me like he's probably laying in bed, awake, thinking about it. Because the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. I don't dream very often in the daytime. Amen. Most of the time you're asleep when you're dreaming. And maybe he did fall asleep, maybe he didn't, I don't know, but he has a dream. So there's an unexpected development, there's an uncharacteristic deliberation. And then look what the Bible says here. He thought on these things, and when the angel came to him, he did what the angel said. There's an uncommon decision. He made one that you would not expect a man to make. A person to make. Amen. He agreed with the angel. Now, we'll get there here in a moment. He had a dilemma. But then number two, he had a dream. And in that dream, look at what the Bible says. The angel of the Lord in verse 20 appeared unto him in a dream saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So there is a truth that is revealed. The truth that's revealed is who is the Father. The angel said, well, it's God. God's the Father. She has not been unfaithful to you. She is with child of the Holy Ghost. There's a truth revealed. Amen?
Yeah.
Then look what, there's another thing that's revealed. There's a title that's revealed. It said, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. You know what Jesus means? It means Savior. Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why you call his name Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But there's a title that's revealed. This child is going to save the world. He's going to save his people. Jesus, when he is born, the angels, what did the angels say? A Savior is born?
Right.
They didn't say a king is born. They said a Savior is born.
Right.
Amen. They didn't say a judge is born. They said a Savior is born.
Right.
He is prophet, priest, and king. Amen.
Right.
But he's also the Savior. He didn't come to rule the world. He came to save the world.
Right.
Even in his birth.
Yep.
Calvary was not a second thought. Calvary was not plan B. That was what he came to do.
Amen.
Amen. And so he shall save his people from their sins. There's a title that's revealed. The angel said, Joseph, notice what he said. Verse number 21. And she shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus. I appreciate Brother Paulman earlier today bringing out those pronouns and those the way that it was said, especially there with Gideon. That was really good. Amen. The same thing is here. Thou shalt call his name. He didn't say she shall call his name Jesus. He said, Joseph, you're going to call his name Jesus.
Amen.
You have a responsibility here. And that is the name him, Jesus.
Amen.
Now what was that? Why is the reasoning for that? The reasoning is because the Father names the Son.
Yep.
You don't name somebody else's son.
Nope.
A lot of times if a father does not believe it's his, he won't name it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The angel said, you're going to take responsibility. This is going to be your son as far as the courts is concerned,
yep.
As far as the law is concerned, as far as your family is concerned, as far as the world is concerned.
Yep.
He's yours.
Mm-hmm.
But Joseph, you know he's not yours.
Yep.
Mary knows he's not yours. Amen. But you're going to have to take that responsibility.
Amen.
Amen. So there's a title that's revealed, but there's a testimony that's revealed to Joseph. You think about this. Look with me. Hold your place here in Matthew. Look with me over here in John 8. Y'all know this portion of scripture, what we're going to say here. But John chapter number 8. Jesus, as we preached Wednesday night, is dealing with the Pharisees and the Jews. And they're not accepting Jesus as God. They don't believe he's God. And look what it says in, they're trying to kill him. Verse 41, he says, ye do the deeds of your father. He's talking about Satan. Amen. Not of Abraham. Then said they to him. He's saying they're the sons of the devil. And look, they're claiming to be sons of Abraham. They said, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. They said, God's our father. He's not your father. You're a son of fornication. Now, I do not believe that everybody and their brother knew that Jesus was not Joseph's son. You look through most of the Bible and they said that he's the son of the carpenter. He's the carpenter's son. All his life he was looked at as that Mary in the temple, in the house of God. Mary, knowing that he's not really his father, said, your father and I have been looking for you for 3 days.
Yep.
Everybody in that temple understood that Jesus was Joseph's son. You know why? Because Joseph accepted that responsibility.
Yep.
But he didn't just accept the responsibility. He accepted the blame. See, these people, it looks to me like the Pharisees, they're the ones that know the law. They also have the records. And Jesus' birth records do not match the records of the marriage of Joseph and Mary. I don't believe everybody knew that, but these Pharisees are bringing up to Jesus, hey, you think you're something, you think you got us all fooled, but we know you were born of fornication. Your mom and daddy wasn't even married when you started on the way. But that wasn't true. The fornication, amen, it was not true, but Joseph never argued with that. Joseph, everybody that knew the details, they might not say anything, but they knew Joseph and Mary didn't do everything like they're supposed to.
Uh-huh.
Right? Joseph never argued with that. It wasn't true. He could have defended himself. He could say, I'm not raising this boy. He's not mine. But he didn't. He accepted the role that God gave him.
Amen.
Even if it meant shame.
Yep.
Even if it meant a bad testimony. He was going to do what God said. Amen. Amen. So we see his dream. Then last of all, here I see his decision. Listen, let me say this. I believe there's a reason why God did not have Mary tell Joseph that this child is of the Holy Ghost. God didn't leave that to Mary. God sent an angel to Joseph. Joseph's not going to believe Mary. I mean, Joseph may think Mary's a very good lady, but that's just kind of hard to believe, right?
Yeah, right?
But when an angel says that, then it kind of gets your attention a little bit.
Right.
It's not just Mary saying it. There's an angel saying it. But look what the Bible says here. Verse number 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I don't believe that verse is just in there for us to understand that this was prophesied before. I personally believe, I don't have scripture for this necessarily, except for that it's in this order, and we'll see it in another place as well, another couple places. But I believe Joseph heard the dream, heard the angel. And after he got done, he said, I don't know, that's just kind of far-fetched, you know. But it seems like the Lord said something in his word about that. God may have revealed, may have brought back to mind the Bible that Joseph had studied. And God said, no, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, the angel and Isaiah, the angel and Jeremiah, the angel and, had all these prophets. And listen, God does not speak to us in dreams and visions today. I don't think he's stuck in dreams and visions. If God wants to say something to us, he'll say it through his word. A lot of times he might say it to the man of God, using his word. Amen. God will do that. But God does not speak to us in dreams and visions. But if you get a dream and vision, you better make sure it's in the word of God. Even back then when they did, God didn't just give Joseph a vision with nothing to back it up. No, God gave him a vision, and then he had a prophet 800 years before write it down in the Word of God. And Joseph's able to go back and say, well, it must be true, because God not only sent me an angel, but he sent a prophet.
Amen.
Amen. And sent his word to tell us about it. And so look what the Bible says in verse number 24, Joseph's decision. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. And took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So I find here, the Bible, what does the Bible say about what Joseph did immediately after he got up from that dream? First thing he did was he did. That's all the Bible says. He did. Everything that God said for him to do. You go back with, I think I preached here, maybe in Sunday school, or I don't remember when it was, but here, when it was here, I preached on Noah, and I think I made this statement, that Noah over, I don't remember how many times now, like six or seven times, maybe more than that, in Genesis 6, 7, 8, and 9, God said about Noah, using Moses to pin it down, but God said that Noah did all that God commanded for him to do. And it said, I believe that's the greatest compliment that God could give a human being, is that you do everything that God said for you to do. And that's the exact same thing that God says about Joseph. God said he just did it. God sent an angel to tell Joseph to do something that nobody else would even imagine. Everybody think you're crazy. And Joseph just did it.
Amen.
Joseph just did what God said. If you don't have to turn that, but in Luke, God said, talking to the angel said to Mary, thou shalt bring forth a son, and it says, his name shall be called Jesus. Here it says, thou shalt call his name Jesus. In verse number 25, he called his name Jesus, not she, he called his name Jesus. He did what God said for him to do. He took the blame. He took the reproach, amen, of Christ and lived with that. It looks to me like Joseph died before Christ ever started his earthly ministry. Maybe not long after the Lord was 12 when they went to the tent. I don't know. That's the last time we find him. And Joseph died with nobody knowing that Jesus is God. He's not revealed him. God had not revealed that to anybody besides Mary and Simeon and Anna. But Joseph bore that reproach all the way to the grave. Today we don't think about Joseph like that because we got God's word. Amen. We understand. But everybody around Joseph knew he's a good carpenter. But he's not a really good man. Right? But he was a really good man. Amen. And he was willing to take that reproach. He obeyed the Lord's commands. Bible says, if you love me, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
Somebody said, and I don't think that is right, we can tell exactly how much that we love the Lord. It is revealed exactly how much we love the Lord precisely by how we follow His word.
Amen.
And His will, how we obey Him. Amen? He obeyed the Lord's commands. Samuel said, is not obedience better than sacrifice?
Right.
Amen. Lord, help us. A lot of times we, Brother Duncan, we like to feel bad about doing something right. And then we give something to the Lord. We think, well, that'll be alright. I'll be alright. I'm out of sin, but I made it up because I witnessed to somebody, or I did this, or I served the Lord in this way, or what? No, God's not looking for our sacrifice as much as He's looking for our obedience. Amen. Joseph obeyed the Lord's command. He observed Moses. He observed Mary's chastity. It says he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son. They were married. Amen. And yet he observed her chastity. The Bible says it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Amen. And if Joseph could not touch his wife when he was married because God said not to, then you can when you're not married. Amen. Amen. We can be faithful to the Lord. And then last of all, he obediently named a child. We looked at that already. Amen. Now let me say this in conclusion. I think Joseph is chosen to be the man, he's chosen by God to raise his son. I believe maybe because of the kind of man that Joseph was. God knew that Joseph wouldn't get in his way. Amen. God knew that Joseph would just do what God said for him to do. No matter how crazy it sounded, no matter how much it hurt, no matter how much he had to endure because he was pure. He knew the word of God. Here we saw, I believe he knew that the prophet had said that a virgin would conceive. And God solidified it in his heart because he remembered the word of God. And I believe if we study the word of God, then we don't know all the Bible. We can't memorize all the Bible. Amen. But when we study the word of God and we get in a situation, God will bring the verse to our remembrance that we need right then.
Right.
Amen. Just like he did with Joseph.
Amen.
And God didn't have to worry about what Joseph would do. Notice here in Matthew 2, verse number 13. You remember verse number 1 on down, the wise men come to King Herod looking for Jesus. Then they go to Bethlehem and find the star. It's interesting to me, they saw the star in the east. It's probably in Babylon, I'm assuming. Somewhere thereabouts. It's interesting. You have Daniel that studied astronomy there. And then these guys are studying astronomy and they see the star. And why would they be interested in the king of the Jews? They're not Jews. There may be Jews that were left there, but probably not. But maybe they had the influence of Daniel.
Right.
And they knew that. I don't know. But either way, they saw the star there, but they did not follow the star from the east to Jerusalem. They saw the star in the east, and it took them many months to get to Jerusalem.
Right.
When they get to Jerusalem, they asked the king, did you see the star? The king didn't pay any attention to it.
Right.
But when they told him that there has been a star, he remembered that he had saw something, and he also told the wise men to look at in the Bible, look at the prophets, see where he's going to be born.
Right.
And the king wanted to kill Jesus, but the wise men were looking to worship Jesus.
Right.
Amen. And so they didn't follow the star there, but when they got there, and the king tried to lead them down the wrong path, right? He's trying to get them to help him kill Jesus.
Right.
And, using deceit to do that. Well, they left there, and God brought the star back to guide them to the house. And they went to the house, and they worshiped. And then in verse number, you remember they were warned of God in verse number 12 not to go back to Herod, but to return a different way. Amen. There's a good message in that. When you go to see Jesus, you'll leave a different way. Amen. That's right. It'll change you. Amen. Verse number 13 though, he says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. There's another dream. There's another angel saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word. He said, I want you to go to Egypt and I want you to stay there until I tell you. Right? God is not leaving Joseph in the dark. He doesn't tell Joseph everything he needs to know for the rest of his life. But he gives him orders for today until the Lord changes the orders.
Right.
Amen. And he says, I want you to go to Egypt and stay there until I bring word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night. Now wait a minute. He's asleep with a dream, and he goes by night. I don't believe it was 3 weeks later.
Right.
I believe he immediately did what God said.
Right.
God said, they're going to try to kill Jesus, and he says, all right, I better go now.
Right.
I better not wait around.
Yep.
I better do what God said immediately. Yep. Amen. We ought to do that, hadn't we? He says, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. Look at this. And was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Amen. We understand he's talking about the children of Israel. He's talking about Israel itself, not the Lord. But Matthew says that he's talking about Jesus.
Right.
And I believe Joseph realized that. He hears a dream. And he reads the scriptures and says, hey, the Bible even agrees with this. Amen. I need to do what the angel said. Then come on down to Herod, killed all the children, the men children, the male children, 2 years and old and under. And that was spoken by Jeremy the prophet. And then in verse number 19, but when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph, the third time, in Egypt. I'm glad the Lord can speak to us wherever that we're at. He's down in Egypt and God's able to speak to him. Amen. You know why? Because he didn't run down there like Abraham did in fear.
Right.
They were getting ready to kill his son, but he doesn't flee in fear.
Right.
He flees because God said so.
Right.
There's a difference. Yeah. Amen. But God's able to speak to him even in Egypt. Amen. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. Immediately. He came in the land of Israel. No, he didn't do this without any fear. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 22. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream. There's the fourth dream. He turned aside into the parts of Galilee. This is what I'm saying. God said for you to go back to Israel. And Joseph is afraid to go back to Israel. But he goes anyway.
Right.
And while he's going, I believe he's probably seeking the Lord's face. He's saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm following your will, but it seems awful dangerous to me.
Right.
Where should I go? What should I do? And the Bible says he should... He was warned of God to go to Nazareth,
yep,
up north. Amen. And it says, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophets, or by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now we understand there's a difference between that and Nazarite. Amen. I don't believe the Lord had long hair. Amen. But the point that I'm making is, Joseph was even afraid to do God's... He didn't do it because he wasn't afraid. He did it even though he was afraid.
Right.
He obeyed God's word even though he was afraid. But he just asked the Lord, Lord, can you give me some more light?
Yep.
And God did.
Amen.
Amen. And every time, all four times, the angel appeared to Joseph. And then Joseph found scripture to back up what the angel said. Amen. And I believe that that's good for us. Not to make any decisions, any major decisions, without consulting the Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I hear a lot of people saying, well, we believe the Lord's leading us to go here for another job or whatever. Well, is there a good church here? I don't know. Not that I know of. You know, have you prayed about it? No. But it's better money. Well, listen, you better make sure that you're in God's will.
Amen.
Amen. That you've got God's word.
Amen.
Leading. Amen. Sometimes God's Word takes us to greener pastures. Sometimes God's Word takes us to a better place, if you will. I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about in our walk with the Lord. Sometimes things are easier. Sometimes things are better, if you will. And then sometimes we're afraid to do what God said because it's not easier. It might be more dangerous. Amen. Somebody said the safest place to be is in the center of God's will.
Amen.
And I do agree with that. Not necessarily physically.
Right. Yeah.
God can put you in a very dangerous place physically.
Yeah.
And you might, I know, some of y'all know the preacher that went to, as a missionary to Cameroon back in 2018, 2019, and was there for a week, I think, and was killed in the civil war there.
Yeah.
Never started a church. Never did. I believe he was obedient to God. He did what God wanted him to do, but he didn't get to start a church. He didn't get to do what he thought God wanted him to do. And it wasn't safer for him to be. He'd probably still be alive if he's here. But he wouldn't be in God's will. Amen. Even if it doesn't appear safer, it's better. Even if it's not safer, it is better to be in God's will than where we're at. If we're not in God's will. Amen. Lord, help us to find His will. Find Joseph, I believe, is a good example of what we should be in our life. Not just men, amen. Men and women ought to seek God's will and His word in their life, amen. And seek to follow it, amen. Let's all stand on our feet. Daddy, if you will come, appreciate you letting me preach here this evening. I hope the message was a help to somebody. And, amen.